All right, this is David Tessar, and we are here at MMS 2013. But today we are doing something pretty special for the day here at MMS, and we are shooting a course on System Center 2012 Service Manager. So we know that there's a lot of interest out there on Service Manager 2012, and so I wanted to get a course, basically, put together to get people a lot more information about System Center Service Manager. And I want to give a huge shout out to Kathleen Wilson. This content is based on a four-day workshop. So if you are a Premier customer, you can talk to your technical account manager to get the hands-on learning for that. But for you, it's free today. We've got a lot of content packed in here with a lot of great speakers. You guys will get an intro in just a second, but for now, we're just going to do a quick overview of what the course is going to look like. Cool. So the goal here is to provide IT implementers with the knowledge and skills they need to configure a service manager solution. So ideally, we want to give you hands-on, practical tips to deploy, to run, you know, System Center Service Manager, so you can kind of get started on your deployment inside of your environment. So transfer that knowledge, learn about the tools, and give you kind of a baseline set of information.
Yeah, we're actually going to show you some of those tools right from our...
Right after this. There we go. Okay. And what are some things that you might want to know? Well, one of the big things with Service Manager, right, is that you need to have processes. So, you know, we say that, hey, System Center Service Manager, 60% is just you understanding the processes in your environment. Now, we're not going to tell you how you need to run your business, obviously, yeah. but just something to be aware of that, you know, a lot of the System Center Service Manager deals with that, and we're going to give you some of the how to get it done with Service Manager, but you probably need to figure that out on your own. As far as prerequisites go, it would be good for you to have some kind of MOF or ITIL type of knowledge. That's helpful for the processes and getting those to be run. It's also helpful to have just some light knowledge of Orchestrator, Exchange, or SharePoint and some of the connecting technologies that we're talking about today. For the most part, you should be able to be, you know, almost no knowledge on System Center, products for System Center Service Manager specifically, before going through this course. You're probably going to have some knowledge of System Center in of itself, just generally speaking, but hopefully today we'll get you deeper on Service Manager itself. And the last thing I want to do before we transition over to formally start the course out is just a few calls to action. One is, you can check out your evaluations on the TechNet Center for System Center Service Manager and all the System Center products. MVA, of course, this is more than likely where you're watching this course right now, but there's a lot of other learning that's on there for you to consume. And then, of course, certifications. We have a certification site if you want to get certified on System Center and the related products. Okay, with that, I'm going to turn it over to you guys to kind of get started on the architecture.
So thank you, David, for that introduction. So my name is Brad Bird. I'm a System Center, Data Center and Private Cloud MVP. I work with Systel Technology as a senior System Center and Virtual Machine Architect.
Yeah, and I'm Anders S. from Lumagate Sweden, and I work as a senior consultant there. I'm also a product manager for Service Manager at Lumagate.
Yeah.
So we're covered now. We have a Canadian and a Swedish guy right here ready to knock it out.
Yeah. So we are your Canadian Swedish connection.
There we go. There we go.
All right. Okay, so let's get that rolling. Okay, so let's start to talk about the Service Manager architecture. Mm-hmm. Really, you've got several components that you're interested in fulfilling there. You've got your self-service tier, which has to do with users hitting the portal from a web base. That really reaches into the Service Manager infrastructure itself and pulls the data out of the CMDB. You get access to things like your work items, which include your incident requests, your service requests, your activities, your workflows. You also get access to your configuration items, so things like your users, your printers, your groups, your hardware assets as well, which you can pull in from different sources. And all that's connected with through the CMDB, but you've also got things like the data warehouse where you can pull reports and stuff like that. The data comes into Service Manager from different sources. You can put some in yourself manually, or through CSVs or workflows, but you can also integrate with other components in the System Center stack.
Yeah, using the connectors.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And we have several connectors to bring on in data to Service Manager, and we'll talk about that a bit later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just as a quick call out for the basic components that you use for the Service Manager are your user accounts, which you use to populate fields in the work items, and that comes from your AD connector, but you can get computers from your ConfigMan connector and so on and so forth. Okay. Okay. So your service level agreements. As an organization, when we're actually working through our incidents or our service requests, we may have a time component within which that we have to fulfill that and accomplish the goal that we've set out. Like say we have an incident request that comes in, we've got a problem in the organization. Depending on the classification of problem, whether that be a printer issue, whether that be a system down or service down, we might define these service levels where we have to treat the incident within a specified amount of time. And you can actually specify these time ranges in Service Manager, and it'll inform you if there's a breach, depending on the type of issue that you're working on.
Yeah, exactly. Right? We have support for calendars and notifications on Pulse. So if you're about to breach an SLA, you can notify the persons responsible for the SLAs and so on.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, so IT as a service. Now, a big part of the Service Manager is the self-service portal. So we're providing the ability for users of the service to leverage the cloud computing tenant of self-service. So they're being able to access that portal and get a user perspective and actually make those critical service requests or incident requests leveraging these things called service offerings and request offerings, which are made available through the service catalog in Service Manager. We define those items in Service Manager and they're surfaced through the self-service portal where the users can go and consume those from a web interface.
Yeah.
So the theory of ops for Service Manager. Okay, so we have our service request templates where we've got some pre-populated forms which allow the ability for those services to get accomplished, right? It's just basically request offerings with pre-populated forms,
exactly.
And those get translated into service offerings. And you can also provide some automation in there by creating a process workflow, right? You can create triggers, so on and so forth. Now, the request offering, so if a user hits the self-service portal, they'll go in and the first thing they'll see is the service offering, which is a list of the service that you're providing. But actually what it is that they want to consume, like let's say they want to consume an Active Directory service, that's fine. But what is it that they want to do? Let's say they want to create a new user account. That would be the request.
Actual request offering,
correct.
Yeah. So that's the action you want to take on the service.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so you can make that sort of dynamic depending on the type of data that you're trying to consume, right? So as they consume these different types of services, you can pre-populate that using templates in the system, which will already sort of pre-answer those questions on the forms. Okay, and the service offering themselves, I mentioned that. So those can be anything at all, right? I mentioned this is, you can do it as an add and remove user process, but you can also leverage that as something generic, like I want to request hardware. I need to request a new phone. I need to request a new printer. That could be nothing more than just a link to go in and then fill a form and then some manual activities get performed in the background. Okay? All of this gets contained in the library of Service Manager inside what's called the Service Catalog.
Yeah.
Okay? And then all of the even the library items all get stored in that central component of Service Manager, which is the CMDB, and that's where all the important stuff happens, right? And then you get the loop back and forth through the different processes.
So you're actually creating the service catalog from a wizard inside Service Manager. It's a really easy process. You go through a couple of wizards to create the actual service offering. And when you create the service offering, you create the different request offerings, right?
Yeah, right.
So you create a service called mail, and you have the request offerings called...
We're going to have a deep dive on that later on.
Yeah.
So we definitely, it seems like the CMDB is a pretty critical planning part for architecture, because right, there's a lot going to be stored there for the design of your database. So I'm guessing you need to have some thoughts about capabilities and the hardware of how you design that.
Correct. Right? And we'll discuss the different, like architecting for the role and architecting for the SQL database mm-hmm. that it's dependent on as well. Another critical part, which actually reads the data from the CMDB, and there's actually a dual write that gets done when as information gets entered, is the data warehouse. And that's where all of the business intelligence work gets done. So you've got the CMDB, which is really where the information gets stored and pulled, the data gets pulled from the console, from the SSP as well. Mm-hmm. But you've got the data warehouse, which contains the reporting services components, and for long-term storage. You also get, with 2012 now, you have the ability to have some business analysis run on there with SQL Service Analysis services. Okay. Right.
So first of all, we have the Service Manager Management Server. This is the core of Service Manager. This is where the service is run and where you connect the actual Service Manager console to. And then, of course, we have the Service Manager database. This is also called the CMDB. This is the actual working database. So that's the three components on this slide. So this management server, the database, and the console. That's the core of Service Manager.
Right. So these are the three sort of roles that you need as minimalists to get this done. So the SQL Server contains all those items that I was talking about in the initial service section, right? You got the configuration items, your work items, your incidents, so on and so forth. And then in your console, you have that thick console client where you're pulling the information. That's what most analysts use today. Mm-hmm. And you can control access to that with role-based access control. You can also leverage PowerShell to get into the CMDB and to get into most any System Center product today.
Absolutely.
Right.
So if you go on and look at the data warehouse actually consists of a management service as well. And also, of course, we have a couple of databases. We also have a reporting server to use for reporting. And at the bottom here of the slide, we have the portal server to host the self-service portal.
Right. Now, the architecture of Service Manager is somewhat based on the architecture of System Center Operations Manager, where you had a management group. And that was set up, and then you had the separate roles inside. Mm-hmm. Now, Service Manager is a little bit different in the sense that it's got two management groups that you set up if you leverage the data warehouse. You've got the general, the primary management group, which contains CMDB, Service Manager, Management Server, and those types of things. And then you've got the reporting component, so you've got the data warehouse management group, which will contain your data warehouse, your reporting server, mm-hmm. your SQL Server Analysis Service, so on and so forth, right?
Yeah. And the reason for having two different management groups is to have the ability to connect several instances of Service Manager to the same data warehouse.
Right. In order to get some of that business intelligence analysis, you've got to install in your data warehouse management group SQL Server Analysis services, right? So then you've got your different databases where you're going to get the information from. You've got the Service Manager database, which is your CMDB, where all that information's basically being pulled from. Then you've got the staging and config database, the repository, and the data mart, right? Which they all perform separate functions in and of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you've got the on the data warehouse side, similar structure. You have the separate databases that perform different jobs. You've got the analysis services database. Then you've got these two optional databases, which only get leveraged if you use a connector, right? So you can go ahead.
Yeah, so you're actually able to connect your operations manager and config manager to your data warehouse within Service Manager to bring in that kind of data and do consolidated reporting on that. So that's really nice.
Okay.
So those two databases are optional.
On a practical note, what would be things why they need to know what database is what? I mean, will people need to be going in and analyzing data from there manually? Will they need to know the name of the database
or
if there's problems?
No.
That's just more of a informational kind
of thing. So actually we have the Service Manager database, which is the core database, which stores all the work items, which is our tickets and the CIs in our CMDB. And have the rest of the databases, which is used for reporting. But I mean, the reports are there out of the box. But if you want to create new databases, new reports, sorry, then you'll have to know about the database names because they're using the DB data mark to do reporting.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's also for scalability and disaster recovery scenarios, right? So, like, if you were to lose the if you were to lose the Ops Manager database, like you wouldn't lose all the information out of the CMDB. You would, however, have to get the connector to resynchronize so that you get that that data sort of staged into that database, and then it'll synchronize with what's in the CMDB. Likewise, with the data warehouse, you could potentially lose the data warehouse. As part of your architecture plan, what you do in service managers is you disconnect from that data warehouse, and then you can bring up a new data warehouse, and it'll just go and start synchronizing.
Okay, makes sense. Okay. Thanks.
So talking about scalability, right, we've got two scenarios now that we can deploy Service Manager. You can deploy the servers as physical, or you can deploy them as virtual. Actually, within the new 2012 Service Pack 1, SQL Server now has some benefits where they're actually showing some performance statistics that it's actually performing better virtual.
Yeah, using SQL Server 2012, which is supported in Service Pack 1. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is actually the minimum setup, and that's three servers if you want to use the whole system, Service Manager components. So we have a management server, which have the databases. You have a data warehouse, which have a local database server for those databases, and we have the portal server.
Right.
So this is the minimum setup of Service Manager.
As of Service Pack 1.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. So you, and these can all be scaled out, which we'll talk about as we go through. So, and then, of course, you've got your component backend database servers, right? Each one's a SQL server, so you've got your CMDB that's actually gets stored on a SQL server, and then you've actually got the management server there as well. And then you've got the database server for the data warehouse, which can potentially contain all of your SQL Server analysis databases and or your operations manager and config manager databases as well. And then you've got your SQL Server reporting services, which itself has its own portal that you can go into and configure reports, and it's got its own database and temp database as well. So you can make these components highly available. For the most part, they get done through one type of clustering solution or another. If you're going to make your SQL servers highly available, you're likely going to want to use Microsoft Clustering Service for that. You can cluster the SQL servers, and then you'll have your databases there. If you're using your management servers, you can stage those out and have separate management server, and then you can load balance your SDK service, right?
You can use a network load balancing cluster to use that.
Right,
yeah.
I meant the SDK service.
Yeah.
I meant the data access service. Right. So
then,
if for your portal server, you can bring up a couple of portal servers, and you can load balance those as well using the web technologies.
I think that's the next slide, actually.
Yeah.
And then I got a shout out here. I'm guessing you could probably run this on Windows Azure Infrastructure Service. It's possible, perhaps.
So
not officially supported yet. But.
Yeah. You can. It can be done because what you do is you'll spin up the instance and then you can run it off there. Although I wouldn't necessarily want to run a back end workload up there.
Right.
But
right.
It could certainly be
an
effective front end service that you can do off the cloud, right?
Yeah,
just because of the resources required for the back end, I wouldn't probably put that, at least today, in an Azure service VM. Okay, do you want to talk to the...
You can take it.
Okay, so the Service Manager management service connects through to the self-service portal, just remembering the fact that the self-service portal is just a front end, and that's consuming data out of the CMDB, which is represented in the service catalog as either a service offering or request offering. Right, and then this is configured on a SharePoint server, which can be SharePoint Foundation services, or it can be an actual full-on SharePoint farm. And if you want to scale that out, you're better off with the latter because it provides you some enterprise capabilities.
Yeah, and you can have several web content servers,
right?
And several SharePoint
web part servers.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You can scale out and so on and so forth.
Yeah, to account for your user load of going in the environment.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so now we'll talk about some different factors to sizing the environment. Microsoft has done some performance testing on Service Manager when they were actually designing the product, and they provide this information via TechNet library, so it's a good idea to go and check that on a frequent basis. Like just this year alone, they've actually expanded information that they produce on the performance and sizing. Like I had a customer who I was deploying and they had 7.5K SAS disks. They didn't have that information up there last year. They've since expanded and included that in the performance and scaling section on the TechNet library, right?
Yeah.
So you've got your storage components, your memory components, your processor components, and all that stuff is accounted for in the performance and sizing, right?
Yeah. So if we're looking at this slide, the difference between a 20K user scenario and a 50K user scenario is the difference in memory on the SQL server. So
right.
That's the actual difference compared to the hardware space.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you say users, can you clarify? I mean, is that users in what way?
So
as it relates to Service Manager?
We're talking about configuration items. So what we're saying is two things, right? We're talking about users who are accessing the console and who are consuming the service,
okay.
Whether that be through a web console or whether that be through the actual thick console. But it's also the data that's being leveraged inside the CMDB, right? Because that's a lot of data to get processed and to have workloads run on, and you've got stored procedures and so on and so forth.
So if we're looking at this slide, when they say 20K users, they're actually talking about end users registering incidents and service requests. So that's the numbers used there.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, so we've got some recommended deployment topologies to go from. Okay, so we were talking about that minimum three-server deployment. This is actually updated from Service Pack 1, where now you've got you have one server, which this is at a minimum level. You have one server that could host your management server and potentially the database as well.
Yep.
And you've got one server that could host your data warehouse management server and the database. And then you've got your portal component if you start scaling into the self-service portal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, as you start scaling out and you're consuming the service more and more, you require more back-end infrastructure, you can split the load of the role of the service manager management server and the actual SQL server that's hosting those databases. So those servers, at least the hardware of virtual machines, as you're sizing them, can potentially be done differently. You have different decisions taken on them, right?
Yeah.
A SQL server has different sizing specs than, say, just a server that has a heavy processing load, or even a web server where you're going to give it a ton of RAM,
mm-hmm.
right?
So this is the first logical step to break out and have a dedicated SQL server for service management.
Right.
Yeah,
because that...
This makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Performance-wise, disk I/O and resource consumption on the database servers is quite evident as the product gets used more and more. So that's where you really start to make those decisions on scaling out, right? So and then in this case, if you add a reporting server, we've got those. Whether you're using in this particular case, it's kind of easy because whether you're using reporting services for Ops Manager or for Service Manager, your sort of scaling decisions on that respect don't change. It's not technology dependent, right, for that specific product. Then from there, you can make different decisions as you're expanding out. Like you can start to add management servers as needed, start to add portal servers and balance those, or you can begin to cluster your database servers, so on and so forth. Always keeping in mind scale out as you get bigger and better.
Yeah, and you can do scaling when you notice that the performance starts to decrease, and then you can add an additional management server to handle the console access and so on. So you don't grow out of it. You can just increase the service and scale out.
And there's a heavy integration component here where you can, if you're actually by itself, you've got performance metrics that you can measure, and then you can actually make those decisions to scale out. Mm. But if you integrate with, say, Operations Manager and maybe Virtual Machine Manager, you can start to leverage these service templates where you can pre-configure based on thresholds and get these decisions to add a server automated, right, as part of the service inside VMM. Okay, so we're continuing on within the scale-out scenarios, and then you can really get quite large, right?
Absolutely.
With this organization.
Absolutely.
And the sizing tool itself kind of helps you to make these decisions for your environment beforehand, and we're going to demonstrate that. Just a moment. So some important performance questions that you'll want to be asking as you're sizing your environment are, how many servers do I need? And we saw from the initial slide. With a Service Pack 1 deployment, we're considering a minimum of 3. So what you're going to do is actually keep your silos for your management group. You're going to have your service manager and your CMDB on 1. You'll have your data warehouse, and you'll have the analysis services database, the data warehouse, ops manager, connector database, and config manager connector, all on that server. And then you've got your portal, which can contain both roles of the web content server.
And the SharePoint web push, yeah.
Right, and the web parts. Okay, and then you've got questions like how many service manager servers should I use? So depending on the number of users which are actually going to be consuming, you can already pre-decide that. And also, where should I host the portal? Do I do it on a single SharePoint Foundation services?
Yeah, or do we have an existing SharePoint where we can use to host the SharePoint web parts and so on? Yeah.
Right. Okay, beyond that, information to help size and make decisions around things like size of the database, if I need to already split that out and have the SQL Server separate to the service manager management server, things like number of configuration items which will need to get loaded from different connectors or that I'll be putting in manually or through a CSV. Number of concurrent users, very important.
Absolutely.
which are going to access the service manager server either through self-service portal console. You got to take all these things into consideration. PowerShell as well.
Absolutely.
Right? They could be accessing the system there too. Or even like if you integrate with, say, a runbook. Right? All this stuff has to be taken into consideration.
So these questions are actually input for the sizing tool, which we're about to look at now.
Right. Right.
So let's take a look at the sizing tool.
Okay. So now what we're going to do is we're going to demonstrate the sizing tool today.
Yeah. The sizing tool is an Excel spreadsheet which you can download from Microsoft. It's in the package called JoBates, which is available on microsoft.com/downloads.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll let you take this one.
Yeah, okay. So this is the actual, let's go back here. So this is the actual sizing tool. And as you can see here, we have a different scenarios here. So you have a couple of scenarios. We have a test deployment scenario. We have a medium deployment, so on and so forth. So just let's select one. Let's take the large deployment scenarios, which supports 5K computers to 20K. So let's go into that. Then we can see here that we have scenario 4. We have these numbers. And if this fits to your environment.
Control 1.
Whoops. Yeah, great.
You can zoom in, right?
Yeah. So this is the scenario you could use if those numbers applies to your environment. Okay, great. So let's click that. Now we will get a suggestion of the actual server setup, which is pretty large. And this is also for high availability because you have clustered servers and so on. And you have an estimated size of the databases down here, right here, control 1.
Control 1.
So you have an estimate of the sizes of the databases here. You also have the minimum requirements for the service up here, which is great. So you have all the basic information needed to get going.
Yeah, you get some hardware specs, and you also get sort of based on the inputs that you're providing with those questions, you can already kind of forecast that, like in this case, you know, you need more than one SQL server or more than one web content server for the self-service portal, right? If you're going to be consuming the service through that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, so it sounds like it's a really good place to just make even if you don't know the answers to all those questions, because I'm just thinking, well, that's a lot of questions to know, and I'm thinking a lot of people might, you know, especially if they're new to it, they have no idea or little idea on what they're going to do, but just snap into one of those templates, you probably get them going and say, okay, this is what I need to start at to get moving. Then, of course, through some of your means you mentioned, you can adjust accordingly and move up, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we haven't had these large scenarios over here. So you can go really big if you want to. Right? Pretty huge.
Yeah.
So all that data has also the actual metrics and the methodology behind that's published on TechNet Library in the performance and scaling section, right?
Yeah.
Can we go to I'm just thinking of the small, medium business guy who doesn't maybe have a whole lot. Could you maybe snap to the smallest template that's there and just see? I know you mentioned 3 servers is kind of the bare minimum, right? to kind of get going? Like, let's say for someone, for instance, they want to just have a pilot or a demo or a test environment.
Yeah.
I mean, how quickly can they get running with this thing?
So here's the test and small deployment scenario.
Yeah.
So this is the minimum one. As you can see here,
it's going to be the three servers.
It's going to be the two servers here because they haven't had the portal servers in place here. So,
okay.
So if you don't, if you're not going to use the portal, this is the minimum scenario.
Okay.
But you do want to use the portal, so you need another server.
Yeah. So if you don't, so if you're scared off by all the large deployment scenarios, be at ease. You've got a two server scenario here that you can kind of get going.
Right.
And get started.
So the reason that they're only showing the two servers in here. Is the sizing tool the data hasn't changed per se, but that remember that requirement to put the portal on a separate server is a service pack one requirement.
Yeah.
So that's the sizing tool just hasn't been updated just yet.
Okay.
And I mean, it depends on your requirements as well, because if you don't need high availability, you don't need to cluster your service, and then you can half
right
divide it by half.
Right? Yep.
Okay.
Okay.